Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for October 3rd, 2023. I am your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous newsletter edition, and delve into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The pre-recorded fireside chat between CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham and FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan was 86th, and the chairman delivered his speech in person yesterday at FIA Expo following Lucan's welcoming remarks. Speaking of which, Lucan clearly has new writers for his material, as yesterday's opening remarks were missing the obligatory mention of CQG Senior Vice President Pat Kenny. For those of you scoring at home in the Kenny mention over-under game, this was a win for the under. Following the chairman's speech, Lucan and Benham sat for the fireside chat shown above. Lucan held a press conference at Expo yesterday to promote FIA's DMIST initiative for standards building and also talked about the Cyber After Action Report FIA released this week. FIA issues recommendations for strengthening cyber resilience. He talked about AI and addressed the principles in which we engage with AI. He made a great point when talking about the challenges government regulators have keeping up with technological innovations like AI or crypto, noting exchanges are also regulators and on the front lines of dealing with those innovations. One interesting feature of this year's expo is the lack of crypto participation of any kind. There is no crypto advertising like we have seen at recent FIA events, and no big crypto firms with booths at the event. Even Cboe has no presence for its crypto or any other part of its exchange offerings at Expo this year. Perhaps no headline puts it better than this from Reuters. The crypto market still bears the scars of FTX collapse. The lack of crypto participation at Expo is clearly a scar from the FTX collapse, as well as other issues in the crypto world. The recent story of JP Morgan UK banning crypto purchases, with one senior banker estimating that 20 to 25% of transactions sent to customers' accounts were related to fraud, was certainly a huge red flag for many of the TradFi world. Back in 2021, everything at Expo was about crypto, and Sam Bankman-Fried was interviewed by Lucan on the Expo main stage in his schlocky uniform of t-shirt, shorts, and sneakers. John Lothian News also interviewed him, a video I captured on my iPhone as our other cameras were being used to video the Innovator Pavilion presentation. You can see the interview with SBF with a link in today's newsletter. The FIA, for the second year, has opened up nominations for the FIA Hall of Fame. If you'd like to nominate someone for the 2024 FIA Hall of Fame class, you can do so with a link in today's newsletter. Also, FIA is taking nominations for the President's Award, which honors outstanding individuals for their direct and meaningful contributions to our work through FIA divisions, committees, and working groups over the past year. You can make a nomination for the President's Award with a link in today's newsletter. I have several nominees I'm going to make for the Hall of Fame, some international and some repeats of nominations I made last year that did not get in. Thank you to the CME Group for sponsoring the opening reception last night at the Sheraton, where the conference is being held. It makes it easy to get to, especially for those of us staying in the hotel. I will admit, CME did throw some grand parties in iconic Chicago locations in years past at Expo, when the conference was bigger pre-COVID. The CBO has made an ignoble list of companies, including BP, CNN, and McDonald's, in a graphic of a Financial Times story titled, "Why Personal Conduct is a Growing Risk for Business," with the subheading, "Embarrassing Revelations About Senior Leaders Can Damage Trust and Cause Significant Upheaval." What I want to know is what CBO is doing inside the company to build relationships with the new CEO, replacing one who was very accessible and relatable as a former CBO member. But things are buttoned up pretty tight over at CBO, so we will have to wait for those and other answers. I received many comments at Expo yesterday about my column about CBO and the harshness of the press release announcing Ed Tilley's resignation. All of the comments were positive and affirming. I learned yesterday that Mexter's Gary Flagler and I have the same taste in glasses and have the same red, white, and blue Ralph Lauren eyeglass frames. We are just a couple of Purdue grads with the same glasses. Patrick Troy is starting a new position as Senior Managing Director, Business Development and Strategic Initiatives at Guavitech. CBO's Head of Derivatives Market Intelligence, Mandy Zhu, has issued a report titled "Demystifying Dispersion with the DSPX Index," with the subheading, "What the DSPX Index Reveals About Dispersion and Volatility." Today is the second day of World Investor Week, WIW, which began October 2nd and runs until the end of the week, October 6th. Celebrating WIW is Ring the Bell for Financial Literacy, a global campaign orchestrated by the World Federation of Exchanges and IOSCO, in which financial exchanges all over the world are ringing their bells to raise awareness about the importance of investor education and production. You can follow the bells as they are rung on the WFE website. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN options were, hedge funds haven't made a bet this big in 5 years, from Schaefer's Investment Research. Asset management, the hedge fund bet that's scaring regulators, from the Financial Times. And building the foundations for successful derivatives markets, from the FIA. Here's a special sponsored content message from our friends at JPX. Navigating uncertainty, JPX launches new derivatives amid global challenges. In a year shadowed by the Ukraine conflict, soaring inflation, environmental and geopolitical crises, Japan Exchange Group, JPX, is fortifying its offerings with new derivatives products. This strategic move coincides with the 35th anniversary of equity index futures trading in Japan, spotlighting the Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices as enduring financial tools. This milestone anniversary underscores the resilience of JPX's flagship products, which continue to offer investors risk hedging opportunities and geopolitical and economic volatility. Nikkei 225 Micro Futures Inflation Hedge. While the Nikkei 225 soars to new decade highs, JPX's newly launched Nikkei 225 Micro Futures cater to individual investors, offering a cost-effective way to navigate inflation and market volatility. The micronized contracts provide an accessible and affordable hedge against global economic unpredictability. Nikkei 225 Mini Options, Geopolitical Risk Management. With geopolitical tensions in mind, JPX has introduced Nikkei 225 Mini Options. These instruments open risk management strategies to a broader audience, offering adaptability in a swiftly changing global landscape. 3-month TONA futures, addressing rate uncertainty. JPX's 3-month TONA futures assist institutions managing liquidity during an unstable interest rate environment. As TONA emerges as a key rate benchmark, these futures serve as a strategic tool for financial adaptability. The offering completes the already robust JGB futures and vibrant JSCC IRS markets. Cross-margin efficiencies, the whole fixed income playbook, are available through the JSCC clearinghouse. Future proofing and ESG. JPX is also preparing to implement Value at Risk, VAR, clearing in November 2023, offering a best-in-class margining methodology to further unleash portfolio efficiencies for market participants. To deliver our part to global ESG concerns, JPX has launched a carbon credit market under the TSE brand. This offering will complement the already actively trading TOCOM power market in the future. These anticipatory measures ensure JPX stays aligned with global sustainability initiatives. These product launches, along with the upcoming VAR clearing system, cement JPX's role as a resilient, forward-thinking player in the global financial landscape, and to further strive to remain your exchange of choice. The author is Matthias Reitig, Senior Officer of OSE, Osaka Exchange, Tokyo Commodity Exchange, Derivatives Business Development. Email at OSE-DMG@jpx.co.jp. And then here's a story from FIA Market Voice. The headline: Experts at FIA Expo see promise for tokenization of collateral. Despite short-term regulatory challenges and upfront cost hurdles, panelists remain optimistic. At FIA's Expo conference in Chicago on the 2nd of October, a diverse panel of experts had a frank discussion about the future outlook for the technology and the path to widespread adoption of tokenized collateral. The general consensus was the industry is a long way from a widespread embrace of the technology, but market participants are still making steady progress and strategic investments in the future of this technology. My comment. Nice of FIA's Jeff Reeves to cover this panel for all of us. Here's a story from CNN Business. The headline: Why Everyone's Phone Will Alarm at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. If you hear a screeching alert go off on your cell phone and everyone else's cell phone this Wednesday at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time, don't panic. The federal government test of its emergency alert system and wireless emergency alerts, the EAS, portion of the test will send an emergency alert to all radios, televisions, while the WEA portion of the test will direct alerts to all consumer cell phones. My comment: don't be alarmed when the alarm goes off. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was, come on down, and will the last business in Chicago turn off the lights? Thanks. A column by the Streetwise professor, Craig Perong. Second was, SEC hands out $79 million in fines over the latest round of messaging violations, from the Financial Times, subtitled, Perella Weinberg, Partners and Interactive Brokers among 10 firms caught up in the latest enforcement actions. Third was the SEC press release page containing 9 press releases charging firms with violations, ordering them to pay. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline: From $26 billion to bust, Sam Bankman-Fried's astonishing rise and fall. Ever since his arrest, Sam Bankman-Fried has bucked advice from lawyers to keep quiet. But through press interviews, blog posts, leaks, and social media, he has challenged the allegation that he is solely responsible for the world's biggest crypto meltdown. Now, as jury selection starts Tuesday in Bankman-Fried's trial on charges that he swindled billions of dollars from his crypto platform FTX, the 31-year-old will have one last chance to tell his side of the story. And then here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: you can now invest in Shrek music rights, the same place you can buy stock. The public platform offers everyday investors a slice of Shrek catalog with quarterly payouts. Everyday investors will soon be able to own a cut of Shrek music royalty alongside their stocks and exchange-traded funds. Starting Thursday, customers of investing platform Public will be able to purchase a slice of the right to the score of the Shrek film franchise and receive quarterly payouts. While royalty payments fluctuate depending on content consumption, the Shrek composition rights generated an analyzed dividend yield above 8% in 2022 and 2021, according to Public. And then here's a story from the New York Times. The headline: even Michael Lewis can't make a hero out of Sam Bankman-Fried. Going infinite, Lewis's new book about the disgraced crypto billionaire defies the author's winning formula of upbeat narratives and unsung genius. Reading Going Infinite, Michael Lewis's strange new book about disgraced crypto entrepreneur Sam Bankman-Fried, you soon get the sense that Lewis felt unusually flummoxed about by his material. Among the reliable pleasures offered by a Michael Lewis book are his formidable storytelling skills, his comic timing, his winsome confidence. He makes sure to give you an unsung hero to root for, the dedicated public servant, the renegade, the baseball manager, the contrarian investor who doesn't get snookered by the hype. Even Lewis's first book, Liar's Poker, which recounts all kinds of bad behavior on Wall Street, is structured around a young man named Michael Lewis, who leaves the absurd money game of finance for the bright lights of journalism and bestsellerdom. Thank you. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.